message of grace is brought to you by Christian people who believe the Bible to be the Word of God and who appreciate its power and authority. Within the pages of the Bible itself, there is a God-given design for its study. Rightly dividing the Word of Truth is the key to understanding the Bible. We're glad you've joined us for another interesting look into God's infallible book as Richard Jordan, president of Grace School of the Bible, presents another in a series of messages designed to help you understand and enjoy the Bible. Let's join them now.
We're certainly glad you've tuned our way today and trust that our Bible study together will be a blessing and an encouragement to you. You know, the only way that the Bible can be that, and it's our desire and purpose on this broadcast to help you to understand and enjoy the Bible. And the only way you'll ever be able to understand and enjoy it is to rightly divide the Word of Truth. That's why Paul says, study to show thyself approved unto God. And that's the one great aim of our study, is to have God's approval. Workmen that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of Truth. That is, when we rightly divide God's Word, we can get the profit out of God's Word that God Himself has placed in His Word for us. We know it's a treasure house of spiritual wealth. And the way we go to the treasure and mine out and dig out and get the understanding that God has for us, the way the eyes of our understanding are enlightened is by God the Holy Spirit taking the Word of God as we rightly divide it, stand on it by faith. Then God the Holy Spirit teaches us that which God has for us to know. We understand what God's doing in our Bible studies. That's the reason we study the Scripture on this broadcast. We spend our time delving into what God says in His Word. Sometimes maybe you watch and maybe it sounds a little different from what you're used to hearing, perhaps on television programs or in church services or reading periodicals and so forth. And if it sounds different, well, perhaps that's the difference between what you're hearing and what God actually says in His Word. And if that's the case, then you need to take the Word of God, search and see. Don't take it from me. Find out what God says. And then let the verses on the page in a Bible make the difference to you. That way the Word of God, not a preacher, not a tradition, not a church, not a body of scholarship and religion, but the words on the page in God's Word, let that make the difference. That's why the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's the source of faith. That's where faith originates, is from God's Word. And if we're going to have confidence and faith, and we have to base it upon what God says. Now, we're looking in our discussions. We've been discussing the post-resurrection commissions given by the Lord Jesus Christ to His disciples, and we've been doing this in our studies along week by week. We've come in this study to see one that is very seldom looked at. You understand, Jesus Christ in the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the earthly ministry of Christ would extend in the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John like that. Christ would die at Calvary. He would be buried. He'd be raised again the third day. Then He spent 40 days with His apostles, and then He ascended up into heaven, and in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit came. You have the book of Acts over here. Now, during this period of 40 days in here, when the Lord Jesus Christ spent with His apostles, He gave them what we call the post-resurrection commissions. That is, Jesus Christ ministers for 3.5 years over here in His earthly ministry. He chooses out 12 apostles. He trains them for the ministry they're going to carry on after he dies and goes away. And He gives them a ministry in here, then He dies and He's resurrected. And during this 40-day period, He commissions them once again to go out into the Acts period and on out there into the future and carry on the ministry that God has given to them. And we've seen how that in each one of the gospel records, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there is a commission. The commission in Matthew looks toward the day. You have the nation of Israel going out here, the fall of Israel in here, the church, the body of Christ, and the dispensation of grace of which we are a part today. And that's Romans through Philemon in your Bible. That's where the Pauline epistles in here, where we are today in the but now section. One day the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come and take the body of Christ back out to be with Him. Then the tribulation will take place, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ back to the earth to establish His kingdom. And He'll set His kingdom up on the earth, and He'll rule and reign for 1,000 years, and then Satan will be bound to the bottomless pit and so forth, and then on out after that. The commission in Matthew chapter 28, we've seen in some detail, fits that period of time right there. The commission in Mark chapter 16 specifically fits that period of time here. The commission in Luke fits this, Luke 24, fits this period of time back here. And the commission, of course, in Acts chapter 1 talks about this, written by Luke. The commissions are laid out like that, and they fit in that kind of an order as to their fulfillment and when they will be accomplished, when the details, what Christ does during this 40-day period is He gives His apostles a series of instructions about what their job is going to be out there in the future. It's one great commission that is going to be carried out during this time period of their ministry out there. We, of course, in the dispensation of grace, This is the mystery age. This is the age when the prophetic program has been interrupted, and this program has been held up, and you have this secret program put in here like a parenthesis. Our commission today is found in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Our commission's not found in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It was not given by the Lord in His post-resurrection ministry. Rather, it was given by the Lord from heaven's glory up here when He saved Saul of Tarsus, made him Paul the apostle, and sent him out as a new apostle with a new message. And we're going to see some of these things and the importance of that as we go on in our study together. But what I want you to get a hold of is the placing of these commissions. Now, there's a lot of discussion about the commissions. And the difficulty in dealing with them in most people's mind is that they never pay a lot of attention to what the commissions really say. They'll talk about the commission in Matthew, and they'll say, "Go ye," you know, "let's go," and "lo, I'm with you always." Well, that fits over here. He isn't with them all during this period. He comes back and there He is. And you hear about the "go ye" and the "lo, I'm with you," but people forget to talk about the things that the Matthew commission tells them. He says, teaching them all things to observe all things that I've commanded you. And Jesus Christ was very clear that if you wanted to be great in the kingdom, Matthew chapter 5 verse 19, he told them in the Sermon on the Mount, if you want to be great in the kingdom, you keep men to keep the law. And Matthew 28 commission is a commission. The legalism in Matthew 28 is something, I mean, Paul says we're not under the law. This commission says if you want to keep it, you got to keep the law. The legalism in Matthew 28 is seldom recognized. People will take out, you know, for the missionary conference or whatever, and pull a few words. Mark 16 is the same way. You'll say, "Go and preach the gospel to every creature." And amen, let's go. But they forget to talk about, "And these signs shall follow them that believe." People forget to talk about the fact that Mark 16 says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." And when somebody will say, "Well, yeah, you got to get baptized to get saved," then they forget to talk about the signs that follow. And so there's the baptismal salvation, the miraculous signs and wonders that are following that'll be needed to get through this special time of testing. This commission, it's generally overlooked. People forget about it. So what about Luke and Acts? Well, in Luke chapter 24, he says that repentance and remission of sins will be preached in my name among all nations. People say, "See, we got to go out to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem." And people say, "Well, then you get this stuff about you're going to spiritualize the Bible." See, it isn't really going to mean what it says, because Jerusalem, well, that's your hometown. And then Judea and Samaria, that's your state and your county and your state. And then the uttermost parts of the world, that's... But you know, you take a map, any map, go get a National Geographic Society map, or go get a world atlas, or go get your encyclopedia, a map in the back of your Bible, any of them. Jerusalem is not in... your hometown. Jerusalem is in Palestine. Jerusalem's in the Middle East, over there in the Mediterranean. Jerusalem is right where it is. It's in Israel. It's not in the United States of America. It's not in your state, in your city. And unless Jerusalem, when he says Jerusalem, if he didn't mean what he said, he ought to have said what he meant. You see, the Lord meant Jerusalem. And the problem with the Luke, the commissions written by Luke in Luke 24 and Acts 1 is that they've got this thing where you've got to go to Jerusalem first. And so forth. So you have all these things that people selectively pick out and ignore the rest. There's one of these commissions, though, that everybody just ignores completely. They don't pay any attention to it at all. And that's the one found in John chapter 20. If the church at large today is guilty of picking out pieces of these commissions and ignoring most of what the details of what they actually say, there's one commission that is overlooked almost completely, and that's the one in John chapter number 20, verse number 21, 22, and 23. And this one is ignored by most of the Protestant church. Now, the Roman Catholic Church likes this commission because this is the basis upon which Rome and the Roman Church gets its authority for the priests to remit sins. And immediately when you see that, you can understand why, Protestants sometimes wouldn't like it. Let's read it and see what it says. Let's go to the Bible. Let's be Bereans. Let's study what it says. Find out what the things are about. Look at the details of them and see how they will fit into the Word of God rightly divided. You can believe your Bible. Now, folks, if you learn anything off this Bible study program, I hope you'll learn that you can believe the Bible. And if the Bible contradicts your tradition, or the Bible contradicts your the things you've presumed that it always taught, that's okay. I mean, folks, all of us have blind spots. All of us make mistakes. The key is not that it differs with something. The key is, what does it say? And then let me bring my system of thought in line with what God's Word actually says. Now, John 20, it's a marvelous passage. It starts in verse 19. Then the same day at even, the same day at even, being the first day of the week, the day of the resurrection, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, "Peace be unto you." And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus unto them again, "Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, so send I you." Now, you can't miss that. That's a commission. "As my Father has sent me, so send I you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them the Holy Ghost, and said, he breathed on them and said unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained." Now, that's real clear. The problem in that passage that people shy away from is the idea of whosoever sins you remit, they're remitted, and whosoever sins you retain, they're retained. That apostolic authority to bind and to loose. But in order to understand that, don't start reading there. Go back in verse 21 and read the commission. Because as you read the commission, then you see he told them what he sent them to do. Then he gave them the Holy Spirit so they could have the capacity to go do what he commissioned them to do. Verse 21, "Then said Jesus unto them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." Hold your hand here and come to Romans chapter number 15. Romans chapter 15, how did the Father send the Lord Jesus Christ? Romans chapter 15, verse number 8. "Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the Gentiles." When God the Father sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into this world, He sent Him to be the minister of the circumcision. The uncircumcised Gentiles down here were cut off. They were on the wrong side of the middle wall of partition. They were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. And in time past back here, if a Gentile wanted to get anything from God, get the blessings from God, or have salvation, he had to come to God through the nation Israel. And Jesus Christ, as pertaining to the flesh, came to the nation Israel. "As my Father has sent me," Jesus Christ was sent to be the minister, to be Israel's apostle, Israel's Messiah. He was sent to be the minister of the circumcision. "As my Father has sent me, so send I you." These apostles, commissioned in the post-resurrection commission, were commissioned to carry out the same ministry to the nation Israel that Jesus Christ was sent to establish in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The promises that he came to confirm that were made unto the fathers, that Jesus Christ came to validate, these men were sent out to preach to the nation Israel. The ministry that they carry forth in the early Acts period on the basis of this commission is nothing brand new. It's a continuation of the ministry that Jesus Christ had taught them all along, and it has to do with the kingdom that is given to the nation Israel. "As my Father sent me," he sent him to Israel, "so send I you." He sends them to Israel. Luke chapter number 22. Luke chapter number 22. He sends them to Israel with a kingdom. Jesus Christ came as the prophet of the Father. He came and preached the gospel of the kingdom to the nation Israel. He came and preached about that kingdom that God had been promising to Israel that was going to be established. And he warned them about the wrath of God upon them because of their sins and how they needed to get right and be, have a redeemer who would redeem them from the wrath of God on their sins. And the good news of the kingdom has to do with a literal, physical, visible, earthly Davidic kingdom in the future out over there that Jesus Christ is going to establish by his return to this planet and fulfill the promises made to the fathers. As the Father has sent me, he sent him to Israel to confirm the promises made to the fathers, so send I you to Israel to confirm the promises made to the fathers. Luke 22, verse number 28. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations, and I appoint unto you a kingdom. Now listen to every word. I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father hath appointed unto me. He says to these people here, the 12 apostles and the little flock of believers, I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father appointed one to me. I appoint it to you. Delegated authority. As the Father has sent me, so send I you. As the Father hath appointed me a kingdom, so I appoint you. Clear enough. Luke 22:30. That you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. The 12 apostles were sent out over here with the authority having been appointed by Jesus Christ with the kingdom. God the Father vested it in his Son and he gave them the authority to act in his absence in his behalf over here. And that's the authority that he gives to them in his kingdom and in his commission. And what you're reading about over here in John chapter 20, what you're reading about and studying here has to do with the authority that Jesus Christ has vested in these apostles. In Luke 24 and Acts 1 and Mark 16 and Matthew 28, he tells them what to do. He gives them the message to preach, and he gives them the manner in which they're to preach it, and he gives them the order in which they're to go with it, and the miracles that are going to be involved in it, and all the rest. But then he gives them the authority with which they are to press that ministry. And they go out in exactly the same authority that God the Father gave to him. As the Father has sent me to Israel with her kingdom, so I send you out with Israel's message of redemption. Now, go back to John 20. As my Father has sent me, so send I you. Verse 22. When he had said this, when he had given them their commission, their authority, you're to go and act in my stead in my absence. You're going to go be my representative, my official delegation. And by the way, in Luke chapter 12, verse 32, Jesus had said to this group of people right here, these believers, believing remnant of Israel back here, fear not, little flock, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So there's no question about the issue being a kingdom. No question about it being Israel's kingdom. Israel's long-awaited kingdom that Matthew 5:35 says that they're to swear not by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And no question about that. He says the meek shall inherit the earth. The king shall reign and execute justice and judgment in the earth. And all the rest of the passages and the prophecies and all that God had promised and prophesied would come. Now go back and notice their authority. John 20. Verse 22, he says to them all of these things, and he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Now he gave them the Holy Spirit so that they could take official action, so that they could do. I mean, when he sends them out here to act in his stead, remit sins, they're remitted, retain them, they're retained. When he sends them out to act in his absence like that, he does it. He doesn't just send failing men with no capacity, somebody like you and me. He sends out men, he puts his Holy Spirit in them, and it's through the ministry of the Holy Spirit that they have, that they'll be able to carry on the operation. In other words, the authority is God-given, God-appointed, but also God-energized. This thing about remitting sins, that reminds you. Come back with me to Matthew chapter 18. It reminds you when you read it about the authority that Christ had spoken about. And boy, these passages, you read these things and you hear them talked about a lot. Listen, folks, what would these men be as the officials of the king? What's an official without power, without authority? If you're elected to a position of government and that position has no authority, has no power, it's of no value to be an official in government. I remember years ago when I was pastoring in a town, there was an office on the books from the 1800s that was an official constable type office that no longer was functioning. And there was a man in the town who resurrected the office, put his name on the ballot, and got elected to that position. And he was an elected official, but there was no salary, there was no office, there was nobody who would recognize his authority because everybody in government had moved beyond. It was an antiquated office. And he had no authority. Now, he was an official, but what's an official without authority? Nothing he could do. He could say something, nobody paying attention to him. It was kind of a futile effort kind of a thing, you know. And that's what's going on here. Christ didn't give these men this position and just say, go do it on your own. He gave them the position and gave them authority to act in his absence. Matthew 18, verse number 18. He says, and he's talking to these people right here, this little flock of believers. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, if any two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that you shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are agreed together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Now you'll hear people on the television take that passage and, you know, they talk about, well, let's bind things down here and God will bind them in heaven. Let's loose them down here and loose them in heaven. And what they're generally talking about is getting somebody to take their pocketbook out, you know, and loosen up the purse strings on their pocketbook or their checkbook. We're praying that you'll loosen the checkbooks of our viewers and send us money in. Well, listen, you keep your money because that's just foolish nonsense. That had nothing to do with what that passage is talking about. That passage is not a prayer promise. That passage is a statement of what it takes to form a quorum in order to take official action among the apostles. How many apostles had to get together? How many had to agree on something before it could be bound on earth and bound in heaven? What was the quorum necessary for them to act officially in the absence of the Lord Jesus Christ in his name? Two or three to gather together, two or three agreed. That is a statement of what a quorum was for official action among these people. And in Matthew chapter 16, verse 19, you'll see that Jesus says to one of those men, Peter, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Get the picture. One man among the 12, Peter, is given the authority to bind and loose. One man is set to be the head of the apostles, and he can bind and he can loose by himself. The rest of the apostles, it takes a quorum. A quorum is two or three, but when two or three are agreed in his name, then they act officially in his name and they carry out the binding and the loosing, the remitting and the retaining. They act officially in his absence and the activities. That authority in John chapter 20 has to do with what it takes for them to act officially in his absence. Now come with me to Galatians chapter 2 before time runs out in our study, and let me show you how they used that authority the last time they used it. Galatians chapter 2. In Galatians chapter 2, you have Paul's account of the meeting between him and the Jerusalem apostles and the Jerusalem church in Acts chapter 15. When Paul goes up to Jerusalem to communicate the gospel that he had been given by the Lord Jesus Christ, this new message that he's preaching over here. And in Galatians chapter number 2, verse 7, we read, but contrariwise, now listen carefully, when they saw, the Jerusalem church saw, these people back here saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed to me, as the gospel of the circumcision was committed unto Peter. For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles, when James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me. They gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go to the heathen and they should go to the circumcision. That is, what these apostles did when they recognized that God had changed the program, had interrupted prophecy, and established a new program through a new apostle with a new message, with a new agency, the body of Christ, and set Israel aside and had started something new. When they came to understand that, through the ministry of the Apostle Paul coming there by the Spirit of God and revealing that to them, they gave to Paul and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship. They agreed with him. They endorsed what he did. And they said, you go to the heathen. You go to the nations out there and we'll minister to Israel. We'll stay with the believers up here until God's through with this program. Think about it. The Great Commission, so-called, this post-resurrection commission found in Luke 24, Acts 1, Mark 16, Matthew 28, and John 20, went out of commission in Acts 15 with that agreement. The men whom this commission was given to used the authority of their commission to loose themselves from the exercise of that commission when God Almighty changed the program. And if Peter or any of the 12 apostles were to stand here on this television program today and talk to you and tell you who you should follow in this Bible, they would tell you that you should follow Jesus Christ as he followed, you should follow Paul rather, as he followed the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, be ye followers of me, even as I am of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I speak to you Gentiles inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles. If you want to avoid confusion in your Bible, and you want to get the blessing out of it God Almighty put there for you, if you want the salvation and blessing God has for you in Christ today, folks, you get it out of the Word of God rightly divided. You get it out of God's Word to us. To go back here and get under another program, to go out over there and to get under Israel's program is only to invite confusion. Because you can't make God do something that he's retired and isn't doing, those programs. But what God is doing today is right there. Get into that. Find out what God's doing, what he has for you in Christ, and it'll make a blessing out of the Word of God to you. Till next time, Maranatha.
Thank you, Brother Jordan, for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we have a cassette tape that we'd like you to have to go along with today's study. The tape is entitled, The Overlooked Commission. It's yours free of charge. It's our way of saying thanks for listening. We'll be happy to see that you receive your free copy along with a free subscription to our monthly Bible study, The Grace Journal, if you simply write us here at the Message of Grace. The address should be on your screen. That's the Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. If you prefer, you can also call us during normal business hours at area code 708-529-0520. Request tape offer number 171. That's tape offer number 171. The Message of Grace is a ministry of Grace School of the Bible, and we're glad you've been with us today. If our study together has been a help to you, we would be happy to put you in touch with a Bible study in this area where the message of God's wonderful grace is proclaimed through his rightly divided word. And friend, if you still are not sure of salvation, that your sins are forgiven, and that you have eternal life as a present possession, let us know, and we'll be happy to send you some gospel literature that will show you the way. That address again is the Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. Thanks for being with us today, and God's best until we meet next time for another Message of Grace.